Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality and not illusion or delusion that's going to determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you that the views that are expressed here are not those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of this station. They're my views, the views of our guests, the views of our callers, and of course we welcome your calls from out across America at 1-888-24-LIBERTY here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. But we ask you to hold your calls for a few minutes because we have with us a Dr. Michael Kaufman. We're going to be talking about his great little book, The Birth of World Government. We're going to be carrying it. It goes into the background of sustainable development, the global warming fraud that is being perpetrated on the American people, how they plan to use water, how they plan to use all these various aspects of the so-called environmental crisis to control the American people. Now, I like small books. As you notice, my book was very, very short and small because it didn't intimidate people, and people could read it through in a few hours, and you can read this book through in a few hours, but it's just chock full of wonderful material that you need as you're talking to the people out there who are the victims of the liberal media and honestly believe that there's global warming or something else. Anyway, Michael, thank you so very much for being with us.
Glad to be with you, Stan.
Well, it's a really great, and of course you've crystallized really what this is all about, and as you point out, this is really all about the Club of Rome and their plan to destroy Christian or Western civilization, isn't it?
Absolutely. There is no question about it. You can trace the whole agenda right back to the Club of Rome and the Trilateral Commission, all the international mystic organizations that you described so well in your book.
And, of course, the Sierra Club, many of these environmental organizations that I suppose that they are so concerned about the marble marlin or the Stevenson kangaroo rat or the spotted owl. Oh, if you can get the people aside, they will admit they're not interested in the environment. They're using it to pursue their agenda.
Absolutely. In fact, we need to recognize very clearly that the whole effort, and they have admitted this time after time, like you were suggesting, Stan, that the issue isn't the spotted owl or any of the other species. The issue is to shut us down.
And people have to understand that this is an attack on our society. I didn't realize, is that David Foreman who was actually in the Clinton administration, or was that a different Foreman?
No, it was David Foreman who was actually in the Clinton administration who wrote the Wildlands Project to set aside one half of America into wilderness areas. That's the same person.
Now, for our listeners who don't know who David, why don't you tell our listeners who David Foreman is?
Well, David Foreman is a radical environmentalist who actually was involved in the Wilderness Society back in the 1960s. He became very disgusted because they were not active enough, and he left the Wilderness Society, became the founder of Earth First, the radical environmental organization that has spawned ELF and many of the other terrorist, eco-terrorist groups that are now burning down buildings and destroying equipment and so forth. He was actually arrested by the federal government in the early 1980s and escaped federal prison term by just a hair of his nose. And
well, could I just mention, he was actually convicted
of
a conspiracy to sabotage a nuclear power plant. Now, you would think that that would be a serious offense. If you and I were to do something like that, Michael, they'd put us away for the rest of our lives. But there's an invisible force behind David Foreman.
That's right. And we need to recognize that. In the 1970s, he began to conceive of the idea of what is known as the Wildlands Project, worked with an organization called the IUCN, the International Union for the Conservation of Nature. Two individuals, particularly a person by the name of Michael Soule and another one by the name of Reed Noss, who then the three of them actually developed and wrote the Wildlands Project that was at the heart of the Radical Convention on Biological Diversity, which we stopped in the U.S. Senate from being ratified an hour before it was to be voted on.
Well, you know, I think that people need to understand that, that David Foreman after being convicted of a conspiracy to sabotage a nuclear power plant, got a $250 fine. And, of course, he got 5 years, suspended sentence. Now, you have to understand that this is because he is a radical revolutionary. The Earth First organization, one of the most radical organizations, which teaches people how to commit acts of terrorism and build bombs and all things of that sort. And then this same man was in the Clinton administration. What was his position, Michael?
He was the Undersecretary of Interior and responsible, if I remember correctly, for the Wildlife, Fish and Wildlife Service, and a number of organizations dealing with the very issues that he was promoting. And those particular people have, during that 8 years that Clinton was as president, have greatly advanced the whole effort to create these huge reserves and interconnecting wilderness corridors. Just before he left office, President Clinton set aside over 60 million acres of federal land that could no longer be used by the public, have any roads built or any type of mining or forestry or grazing activity on them, primarily to turn it back to nature as wilderness areas, de facto wilderness areas. And as a consequence, it was primarily at the initiation of David Foreman that all happened.
You know, David, when you tell people when you tell people that this is the plan to destroy civilization, they look at you as if you've got to have holes in your head. Why, this couldn't be really going on in the world today.
But it is, and we need to recognize that these people have an agenda that has absolutely nothing to do with the tradition of honesty and hard work that has made America great. They have an agenda to create a world government in which you and I are basically slaves, and we have to recognize that.
And I think that that's really so vitally important, and that's why I think your book is so important, because it's going to help people to actually understand what this is really all about. And, of course, we're going to tell them in just a moment. In fact, let's tell them right now. You can get Dr. Michael Kaufman's book of The Birth of World Government by simply calling 1-800-544-8927. It's 90 pages long, but it's got a phenomenal amount of material in it. It's easy reading. It covers everything that you need to know about environmentalism. Now, we've got much more extensive books, much more detailed books, but this is the primer that you need to get into other people's hands, and, of course, it's relatively inexpensive, so it's vitally important that you get the book, read it, and then help us to get it disseminated. Again, the number, if you'd like to get copies of the book, 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. Because you have to understand that behind this whole movement is this effort to destroy civilization. These people have a different religion. And, of course, Dr. Kaufman brings out so well in his book that this is a spiritual force behind this whole thing. And just as many of our listeners would be Christians or Jews, why, these people have a religion of their own. And that religion is totally dedicated to the destruction of society. Now, people say, well, this can never happen. And yet, you see how your ability to own your home and do with what you want to with your property is being progressively restricted. You hear talk about how we have this global warming and what's the solution. Well, we're going to have to certainly alter our way of life, alter our use of fossil fuels. And, of course, we hear about the shortage of water. We're going to have to think about water rationing down the line, especially when we had such a poor rainfall this last year. All of these things are totally contrived. We wouldn't have a water shortage had we been allowed to build the dams and reservoirs that are really needed. Call 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. And ask for The Birth of World Government by Michael S. Kaufman. And I think that you'll be fascinated by it. We hope that you'll want to get a number of copies. But call right now. Have you ever wondered what really happened at Waco? Have you ever wondered if
maybe the government was not giving you the full story. Well, there is the most amazing video. It's called Waco, the Rules of Engagement, 2.5 gripping hours of the story of a government onslaught under a group of peaceable people. Now, their religion may be different than yours and mine, but they were still Christians. They still believed in the Bible, and they believed that the government would one day become their enemy and destroy them. Well, Waco, the Rules of Engagement is a video that everybody who loves freedom should see, because the ultimate conclusion is the government did not want them to come out. The government did everything they could to keep them from coming out, to antagonize them, loud music, lights all the time, to totally create a situation where they could not think clearly or would respond normally. Waco, the Rules of Engagement, is currently unavailable through regular sources. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR right now. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty. Our guest this afternoon is Michael Kaufman. Why don't you tell our listeners about the Biodiversity Treaty and, of course, how that was blocked, and then, despite the fact that it was blocked, it's being implemented anyway. It seems these people have no shame. They don't care what our elected representatives do. They have their own agenda. But why don't you tell that amazing, amazing story?
Well, you know what, Stan, it is amazing, and I can't help but think that it's a demonstration of God's awesome power, because what we did was just four of us and a couple thousand dollars over a couple of years were able to stop a $2 billion treaty from being ratified again, as I said, 1 hour before the vote was to be taken, and it was a done deal. And what basically happened was that we stopped it initially in August of 94, primarily because we used new technology at that time to send out about 4,000 different faxes to different people trying to get them to call into the Senate to derail this thing, never expecting to have those faxes refaxed and faxed again until they couldn't even read them and had to call me because my phone number was in big bold letters. To the point where by the next day at noon, Senator Mitchell's office called me and told me to call off the dogs, that we were causing damage to the Senate phone system. There were so many calls coming in that we actually crashed the Senate phone system and they could not get it back up or it would crash again. That lasted for 2 days because over a million Americans tried to call in as a result of that fax that we'd sent out the day before. That was the first miracle, and there were 35 Republicans who were ready to go on this, and they wrote a letter to Senator Mitchell, who was the majority leader, saying they would not vote to ratify this treaty unless further study had been done. So Mitchell pulled it off the executive calendar in August. It came back up again for another vote on September 30th. In the meantime, we had told Senator Mitchell, Senator Dole, and so forth to asked the United Nations for a copy of what is known as the Global Biodiversity Assessment. And we actually then went in, tried to get this done. The Senate did call the United Nations. The United Nations told them they had no idea what they were talking about, that they should go back and ratify the treaty.
Now, basically, they said that there was no explanation. It's sort of a vague treaty.
Vague treaty. It's only in outline form. It has not had its implementing language really written into it yet.
But they were lying.
This Global Biodiversity Assessment did exist. We got a copy of Chapter 10 from Europe through a very vague set of circumstances. The day before the treaty was to be ratified again on September 30th of 94, we quickly reviewed it. It was over 300 pages, just one chapter, over 300 pages, and quickly reviewed it that day and that evening and FedExed it down to the U.S. Senate that was all highlighted and so forth so that they could take a quick look at it. In the meantime, Stan, what I had been doing the previous 2 years since 1992 and this whole Wildlands Project and the Convention on Biological Diversity was introduced. They're both written by the same people, and we've been telling the Senate that it's the same thing, but they couldn't believe it. It's so radical and so outrageous. I was drawing maps showing what this would look like if it were fully implemented. And I sent those down to the U.S. Senate at the same time. They were blown up into 4x6-foot posters taken out on the Senate floor by Senator Kay Bailey Hutchinson of Texas at 3 o'clock. The vote was to be taken. It was actually scheduled for 4 o'clock that afternoon. And it was so astonishing and so incredible that Senator Mitchell just gasped, from what I understand, and withdrew the actual vote off the Senate calendar. It was never voted on. One thing that Senator Mitchell, because he was my senator, I'm from the state of Maine, is ethically, while I don't agree with his politics at all, he is ethically a very ethical person, and as a consequence, he realized the United Nations had lied to him, personally had lied to him that this document did not exist, and that probably played a role as well in actually causing him then to revoke that from consideration off the Senate calendar. And then in 94, of course, we had the Republican Revolution, and Jesse Helms came in to be the chairman of the Senate Foreign Relations Committee up until this year, and he said that he would never allow this treaty to see the light of day again. He is no longer chairman. Senator Biden is now chairman, and Senator Biden in 1994 was ready to vote for that treaty.
Well, I think that people have to understand this would have taken half of the land in America and put it into wilderness. You couldn't have used it.
A lot of that
would be the grazing land where our beef are raised. It would drive the price of meat right through the ceiling.
Right.
A lot of it would be farmland. It couldn't be used. And then another quarter would be sort of a marginal area, and there'd only be a quarter of the land that would be available for people. This is what they've really intended.
That's what they really intended. It's all down in black and white. We have the documentation to show that we showed the U.S. Senate and so forth. All we need was the smoking gun, and that was within this Chapter 10 of the Global Biodiversity Assessment. They had a paragraph that said that they were going to base the recovery of biological diversity on the Wildlands Project of the United States. That was all that was necessary, and we had them over the barrel, and it was an astonishing afternoon, let me tell you, because I never in my wildest dreams would have expected it to turn out that way a day, 2 days before.
Now, of course, you have to understand this all came out of the Earth Summit meeting in Rio de Janeiro in 1992. It's published by the United Nations, but they don't want the American people to know about it. There were three basic things that came out. One was, of course, the Biodiversity Treaty. One was the Covenant on climate change, and one was the Covenant on desertification. Well, the trouble is that they couldn't get the Biodiversity Treaty through, but they implemented it anyway. They couldn't get the Kyoto Protocol through, but they are implementing it, and that's what the energy crisis in California is really all about, is forcing us to conserve electricity and change our way of life. And then they got the Desertification Treaty through by lying to the Senate last October, where they got a unanimous vote because they didn't tell them what they were voting on, and as so often happens, the senators had not read that. And that gave my understanding, correct me if I'm wrong, Michael, but a United Nations then would have supervisorial, managerial control over 70% of the dry land in the world. Is that right?
In the world. And when you consider the way the language is written, you have to really look at these treaties. It's very devious. In the Convention on Desertification, well, I haven't looked at it in quite some time, made statements to the effect that the entire nation would be under the jurisdiction of that treaty if any portion of it met the requirements to be a desert. And the requirements for it to be a desert were not all that stiff. In other words, the Midwest and the Great Plains and so forth, most of the Great Plains would be considered a desert under this particular definition. And so about 60 to 70% of the United States would be classed exactly as a desert according to this treaty. But the way the treaty is written, that the entire United States is under its jurisdiction if even only a portion of it is actually desert. And therefore, now all Americans will eventually, they are right now, but they will eventually be under the authority of this particular treaty, and this treaty will cause them or will allow the United Nations to say who gets to do what, when, and where.
And, of course, really, the United Nations tells our federal government tells the state government tells the local government what to do. And people say, well, this couldn't really be happening in America. If it was, Barbara Walters would tell us. Dr. Kaufman, why doesn't Barbara Walters tell us about these things if this is really what's happening?
Well, there are many of the media people are just go-along people. They're talking heads, and they don't really understand what's going on. They're one-dimensional thinkers, and this is the real crisis that we're having in America today with our dumbed-down education system is that people can't think. They cannot think critically to see what the consequences of certain actions are going to be. However, there are certain people in the media as well who are deliberately skewing the information that you and I receive so that we do not know what is actually happening in the world, and as a consequence makes us much easier to be able to fool, to be able to delude, and so forth, into thinking these things are great, that we need to do them to save mankind, and so forth. And it will only be a matter of time before they lower the boom, as it were, or close the noose around our necks, and all of a sudden we'll wake up, and we're going to find ourselves totally and absolutely, Stan, I can't emphasize that enough, and this book gives you all the information. Because I use their documentation against them. I show you exactly what their documents say in this book. They're very well referenced and so forth. And there is no question that they will have absolute authority over us, and we will have no say in what they do to us.
And, of course, the book, again, is The Birth of World Government, and, of course, subtitled Through Global Deception, Intrigue, and War. And, of course, it's available by calling 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. And it's an inexpensive book, and I think that's the beauty of it. It's got all the information you need to begin to transmit to others. So give us a call, get a copy of the book, and, of course, we're offering it for $9.95, and you'll find it fascinating information that now, if you want to know how to communicate this issue of global warming to others, why you simply point out that they have this big meeting and all the scientists get together, and of course then they come up with a report, and then of course they turn it over to the bureaucrats for the final tailoring, and the bureaucrats change the whole thing, delete everything that suggests that there is no scientific proof that mankind has produced global warming. They don't deny that we may actually have a little bit of warming here in the last few years, but there's no evidence at all that man has anything to do with that. There's always been minor changes in global temperature related to sunspots and solar activity, so that's all taken out. And then they come up and they say there is no question that man has produced this through production of CO2 and other greenhouse gases, never pointing out that the CO2 is about 1% of the greenhouse gases. It's such a small part of greenhouse gases. The major greenhouse gas is water.
Yeah.
Are we going to outlaw water?
Exactly. The whole agenda of global warming, as with the destruction of biological diversity and all the other catastrophes the United Nations is promoting, is politically motivated. It's not environmentally motivated at all. But it's done in a way where a person who does not think critically will buy it and jump on the bandwagon and think and defend the fact that we're having global warming almost with their life. It's amazing as I go around the United States.
I'm going to have to interrupt you there because we suddenly realize we're over time. Right now, let me just mention to our listeners, if you haven't read my book, The Brotherhood of Darkness, you need to get it. It's available by calling our 800 number, 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. It goes into the secret societies. It goes into the people behind this and the common thread of occultism and spirituality, occult spirituality behind this entire movement for a one-world government. And, of course, you can get the book by itself for $12.95, or you can get the book plus a video plus an audio tape for $29.95, and we're making this very, very special offer. We call it the Brotherhood of Darkness Special because we want you to copy the video. We want you to copy the audio tape. We want you to get those into other people's hands. Don't give them the audio tape. Don't give them the video. Simply copy it, lend it to them, get it back, and get it into somebody else's hands. But call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR right now. The Anglo-American establishment gives you the documentation for Professor Quigley's allegation that there was a secret society created in England that ultimately came to dominate England and ultimately came to dominate the United States of America. The Anglo-American establishment will give you the books that you can read, written by men who were actually involved in the original secret society. Professor Quigley opens his book saying that most people have heard of the Rhodes Scholarships, and a few people have actually heard that Cecil Rhodes wrote a confession of faith, which was attached to his first
Five Wills, talking about the formation of a secret society. But what almost no one in America realizes today is that that secret society was actually formed and still exists to this very day. The Anglo-American Establishment by Professor Quigley, Bill Clinton's mentor, is one of the most important books you'll ever read, and available by calling 1-800-5.
Well, Dr. Stan, back here at Radio Liberty, and of course our guest is Dr. Michael Kaufman, and our telephone number, if you'd like to call us, is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or here in the Central Coast of California, 464-8295. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. Give us a call if you have a question, if you have a comment, and of course we want to know what your thoughts are as far as the things we're talking about. Now, we've written a great deal about sustainable development, but Dr. Kaufman has put everything into a very organized, very simple form here, and, of course, it's must reading for those of you who are going to be out helping us get the information out as to what is really going on across America. So, again, the telephone number to call would be 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295 if you'd like to talk to Dr. Michael Kaufman about this move towards a one-world government and the use, of course, of the environmental movement to promote this. Now, what about this idea of the water shortage? What about the idea that we're going to have to use water to control the population? You know, as you read the newspaper all the time, you're hearing about the water shortage, about saltwater intrusion, about the poor salmon. Up in Klamath Basin, we've taken the property rights away from 1,400 families. Some have lived there for the better part of a century. I mean, generation after generation, we've taken away their property rights to preserve this sucker fish. And a judge has actually come forward and said, well, the fish is much more important than the people. And most people sort of shrug and they say, oh, well, you know, but that's their problem. That's not ours. That is part of everybody's problem, isn't it, Dr. Kaufman?
Absolutely, Stan. It's one of the biggest concerns that I have right now is what's happening in the Klamath River Basin. The Endangered Species Act was not written to protect endangered species. If you have any sense of biology at all, what you realize immediately is that this is, again, a politically motivated act, as it were, rather than a scientifically based effort to encourage landowners and so forth to take care of the species and the habitat on their land, much like the farmers did during the early part of last century with the wood duck. If you recall, Stan, the wood duck almost became extinct. This is this beautiful multicolored duck that almost became extinct because the farmers were taking down the old cavities and so forth, the trees that had big cavities that they were using for their nesting and so forth. And when it became obvious that they were becoming extinct, rather than punishing the farmers, the federal government came to the farmers along the riverways and waterways and so forth and asked them to help by building wood duck nests. And they did. They were out there putting in wood duck nests and so forth until finally they really brought the population back up. But the Endangered Species Act literally reversed that cooperative agreement for protecting nature and so forth and species, and actually made it a punishment for a landowner to do anything on their land if there might be, doesn't have to be, but there might be an endangered species on their piece of property. Of course, the suckerfish in the Klamath River Basin takes the cake, because now the farmers get absolutely not one drop of water because it's all for the suckerfish.
Well, let's go to Ken, who's calling us from Alabama. Hi, Ken. How are you doing?
Good, Dr. Stan. How are you?
I'm doing fine. You have a question or comment?
Yes, sir. I have a brief question and a comment.
Okay, go ahead.
Dr. Michael Kaufman, it's good to hear you again. I haven't heard from you in a long time.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm glad you're tuned in.
Well, now, I hope you're listening to Radio Liberty, because we have him on not infrequently.
Dr. Kaufman, what you were describing a few minutes ago about the desertification rules, about what would be considered a desert area,
right?
You flip that over, and the same thing. They're doing the same thing with the wetlands for the Chulak rule.
Now, that very well may be, because that the whole wetlands issue is kind of exploding in our face right now, too.
Exactly.
And I haven't actually seen what you're referring to, but they will use any combination of language, as it were, to make sure that as much of the American territory is covered as possible.
Yes, that's what I mean. They do the same thing with the wetlands to what's considered a wetland.
Yes.
If you talk to the people, there's an organization in D.C., the Home Builders, the National Home Builders Association.
Yes.
Organization in D.C., the Home Builders, the National Home Builders Association.
Yes.
You get their pamphlet. It's called Even the Government Must Obey the Law, and it talks about the Truelock Rule. You will find that what you said about the desert, they're doing with the wetland.
Now, see, if you take the dry land, they control that, and then you control the wetland, they've got all the land. And that's
right.
What it's about, Ken.
Yes, sir.
American people don't understand. There really are people who want a world dictatorship. These are evil people. And, of course, they're alive and well, and our leaders in both political parties are working with them.
Dr. Stan.
Yep.
I have one request, then I'll hang up briefly. Can you please, both of you, tell the listeners how all of these rules are going to directly change their lives for the worse? And I'll hang up so those of us who get the cassettes can let the rest of the people hear how it's going to change their lives for the worse.
All right, fine. Dr. Kaufman, how is this a movement, this sustainable development movement, this environmental movement, going to change people's lives for the worse?
It basically totally gets rid of the tripart system of our federal government, all the checks and balances of our Constitution, and goes directly to the people and to government agencies who are not elected by the people, making decisions as to who gets to do what, when, and where, so that there is no recourse. You can't throw the people out of office because they're not elected, and as a consequence, these federal bureaucrats literally have an axe over your head because they can determine what you can do, when you can do it, and where you can do it. And it's all going to be directed out of what is known as the Trusteeship Council of the United Nations. The Trusteeship Council historically has been involved in putting nations, territories, and so forth back under national flags or under their own national flag. That's going to be changed with the new United Nations Charter. By the way, the new United Nations Charter is being rewritten right now. They had the authority given to them on September 8th of last year, and they have been busily working on writing a new United Nations Charter right now that will encompass all of the things that we're talking about right now. And this new Trusteeship Council will be a supranational EPA at the international level that will have incredible powers to be able to protect what they call the global commons. Now, they have a definition that's about a page long for the global commons, but if you get rid of all of the superfluous language and so forth, what you will find is that the global commons boils down to the air that you breathe, the water that you drink, and the ground that you stand on. And the Trusteeship Council, the United Nations Trusteeship Council, will have authority to protect that against you. Now, how are you going to live without disturbing the global commons? You cannot do it, and therefore you're going to be under their authority. They're going to be able to dictate to you what you can and cannot do that is sustainable, and you have absolutely and positively no recourse whatsoever.
And I think that's really what people must understand. This is an effort to take away your property rights. It's an effort to take away your individual liberty, your freedom of choice. And these people on the other side know, but you see, they're going to say, well, it's all of the law. Aren't we a nation of laws? I mean,
yes.
How can you have a society if you don't have a nation of laws? But, of course, they have done this all by deceit and deception. While the American people slept. Oh, we're having such a good time. The good times are rolling. The stock market's done so well. And, of course, you know, our NBA basketball team's really doing so great. Well, ladies and gentlemen, we are being entertained to death. And the very fabric of our society and our freedom is slipping away from us while we're doing and spending our time involved in so many trivial pursuits. So our plea to you is if you're out there and you're hearing this program, get informed, get the Dr. Kaufman's book, get my book, and then help us reach people across America, tell others about our radio programs. We're heard on the Internet 5 hours a day at RadioLiberty.com, and you can link then to our other networks where you can hear our programs. We can reach everybody, but you and the audience of the people are going to have to get the average individual to understand what this is about. And, of course, one of these days we'll just do a program on how you can perhaps get them to think. And you're not going to do it by telling them. You're going to do it by asking them questions. And once you can begin to get their mind functioning, they're going to be able to understand the true danger that we face. Would you agree or disagree with that?
Oh, absolutely. In order for us to be effective, you have to have sound information. And that's why these books are so valuable. I really enjoyed reading your book, too, Stan, because it gave you the actual information, the quotes and so forth, that you need to have. I mean, without the quotes, it's just merely my word against them. But yet, when you actually see their language from their documents and what they're trying to do, you have a very powerful and persuasive way to be able to convince others that this is very, very dangerous. And ironically, Stan, the maps, of course, that we've used in the past, these biodiversity maps, have been used all over this country in meetings and so forth to show what they're trying to do with these greenways and all that they're trying to do to get the land set aside and so forth. This is ultimately what it's going for. And a lot of the people that are doing it don't understand what they're doing. It just sounds good. Therefore, they're on the bandwagon, they're gung-ho, and they're willing to sacrifice their neighbors' property rights and so forth in the name of building a greenway or preserving the Dickey Bird or whatever the case might be.
But, you know, they would really yell and scream if they were going to take away their property rights.
Yes.
And take away their home. But it's all right as long as it's somebody else's home.
That's the thing that, of course, has been the downfall of humanity right from the very start, is that as long as it doesn't affect me, I'm not going to get involved. This is what we're seeing today is nothing new, but is the most dangerous thing that can happen, because as sooner or later they're going to get around to you, and by that time you're not going to have any help. It'll all be destroyed. All the help that you could have gotten before are now out of business. They're living in condos someplace. They can't help you. And it's now. Now is the time to step up and say, no, we're not going to allow this to happen.
And they intend to control the water. They're going to run the price of electricity and natural gas up so high that you're going to have to change your way of life and dramatically cut back on your utilization of it. They eventually intend to control your land and anything you do with your land. And many people, their home burns down. They've got insurance. They want to rebuild. Oh, you can't do that. You know, that doesn't fit into the plan for your area.
That's right.
Then, of course, once they control your property and you've allowed them through the planning commissions and all these petty bureaucrats to control your property, then, of course, soon your freedom is gone as well. Dr. Kaufman, I'm going to ask if you'll hang up, and I'm going to ask Bob to call you right back. Just a little hum on your line. I want to see if we can get a clearer one, okay?
Okay.
Okay, and then, Bob, if you'll call Dr. Kaufman right back. And then, of course, when we come back from our break, we're going to ask you to give us a call at 464-8295 or 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 464-8295 or 1-888-24-LIBERTY. If you have a question for Dr. Kaufman, this is a very important book. This is the most important subject now because, of course, as you go into it, you will find that Dr. Kaufman gets into the spiritual aspect of the battle, which is the very essence of what the battle is about. Now, this is the time when I have to remind you that Radio Liberty is listener-supported. And for one reason or another, we've had been given the unique opportunity to be on the air 5 hours a day. I never intended to be working quite this hard in my retirement, but I'm going to do it as long as those of you out there across America will stand behind us. And we have an opportunity then to get people to have an understanding of the true spiritual nature of the battle in which we're engaged. And you can help us simply by calling 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, and joining the Radio Liberty family of supporters. And for a suggested gift of $20 a month or more, as much as you can afford, why, you'll get our 4 best tapes of the month, you'll get our monthly newsletter, but more than that, you'll be helping us do what we do, and that is reach people all across America, really all across the world, and try to get them to think. try to get them to understand the media is controlled. There are people of great wealth who have an agenda. And, of course, they've been financing communism, the right and the left, the conservatives, the liberals, the Republicans, the Democrats. And most of what you see, the interplay in the media, is simply stage-managed to keep idle minds busy so they won't understand what's really going on. Radio Liberty is on the front line of the battle, and we need your help. That's simply what it's about. Our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927. Our website, RadioLiberty.com, and if you have access to the Internet and you don't live where you can get our programs, you can hear us 5 hours a day on the Internet at RadioLiberty.com. Please tell your friends and encourage them to listen and join us in this epic struggle to determine if this nation or any nation conceived under God can long endure. Have you ever wondered what the Vietnamese War was really all about? Why America, the most powerful nation in the world, spent 10 years fighting in Southeast Asia against a nation the size of the state of Mississippi, and America lost that war? Do you really believe that happened by accident? There's so much to the story of Vietnam that the American people have never really known. And in our 4-tape set, Vietnam, the Untold Story, you're going to get the information that you need to understand the tragedy of that event. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, and ask for Vietnam, the Untold Story, the story of what really happened in Vietnam that has been suppressed from the American people for the last 20 years. Well, Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, and of course our guest this afternoon is Dr. Michael Kaufman, and we're talking about his new book, The Birth of World Government, and of course you can get that by giving us a call at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. Let's talk about the spiritual aspect of this, Michael, because of course, really we can't discuss anything going on today unless we address the very real spiritual aspect of what's going on behind the scenes.
Absolutely. What we're seeing happening around the world is so prophetically, biblically linked that it's astonishing. And we need to understand that the principal war is not what we're seeing and happening to you and I on the surface, but it's the spiritual forces that are going on behind the scenes. And what we're seeing shaping up in evidence and so forth is that we could be very much, very close to the end times, biblical end times as defined by the Bible and the return of Christ. So much is happening right now because the United Nations is looking at creating a world government probably within the next 2 years, and they want to divide the world up into economic and military regions. The number 10 has been floated now for about 4 or 5 years as the ideal division of the earth into these economic military regions. We can go on down the line of prophecy after prophecy in Daniel and Revelation and so forth, and what we're seeing happening in in Kosovo, now in Macedonia, what's happening in Israel, all tends to support the idea that prophecy is being fulfilled before our very eyes. Now, we still have to wait. We don't know what's going to happen. But what we do know, Stan, is that it is a spiritual battle, and as a consequence, the number one thing that we need to do is to get down on our knees and ask God what we should do personally, and then ask what our churches should do and so forth to confront this and to prepare. If they are the end times, of course, they're going to happen, but we don't know that for sure. It could be just evil, and as a consequence, we need to fight it with everything that we have.
And who knows? Maybe God would put this off for a generation or two generations, as he did at the time of Nineveh. But I think what people have to understand is what energizes these people on the other side is evil.
Yes.
I mean, they would destroy Christian civilization. They have no concern for human life. That's why they don't care about abortion or euthanasia. That's why these people will create wars, senseless, ridiculous wars. I mean, what were we doing in Vietnam for 10 years fighting a country the size of the state of Mississippi? what was the Gulf War really all about? You
Absolutely.
Know, because after all, we'd been financing Saddam Hussein right up to the very day when he invaded Kuwait, when we told him we didn't care if he went in. There's something wrong with all of this. You go into the background of the Second World War, the First World War. I mean, there's stories there, things that people really don't understand. We're dealing with people who have no sense of morality or right and wrong. And yet today, these people are working at the leadership of both of our political parties, and they're molding the reality of so many of our people, both through the educational system and the media. I really feel that we're addressing organized evil. Would you feel that that would be a fair
Absolutely.
Appraisal?
There is no question about it. It is organized. You can see how it relates from one issue in the world to another issue in the world. And it's all coming too rapidly to a head. To me, what we're doing is fighting one of the greatest evils that mankind has ever faced.
But what a privilege it is to be able to have a voice and be able to, as you do, talk to people across America on radio programs and to write. And why don't we get out your address, your web space, and your telephone number, because Dr. Kaufman is a great source of information. He has great information through his ministry.
Right. The website is www.discerningtoday.org. That's www.discerningtoday, spelled just like it sounds, all one word, .org. And we have a variety of videos and so forth that you can take a look at to see if you might be interested in. Or you can call us at 1-800-799-9878 and get a product brochure. Or we have a video that it parallels what the book talks about. It's a 2.5-hour video, again, using the documentation right out of the United Nations and so forth, called the Final Countdown to UN World Government. Final Countdown to UN World Government. That may be an interest to you or may not be. I personally prefer the book because it's fast reading and it's there. You can go to that page and show someone, where it's more difficult to do that with a video.
I agree with you on that. And of course, that's why I like the book so very, very much, and which I hope why so many of our readers and of our listeners will call us at 1-800-544-8927 and order a copy of The Birth of World Government. And, of course, this has been the aim of the occult since the days of Nimrod.
Yes.
And, of course, there's been attempt after attempt after attempt to create a world government. That was what Alexander the Great was all about. He was involved in the mystery religions and the secret societies, and perhaps someday we can talk about that. But all of these people who've wanted to rule the world have been energized by the same dark spiritual forces. It's about time people recognize that. It's about time that our churches recognize this and our religious leaders. And, of course, we are the majority. And so why aren't we not being told what's really going on in the world today? Well, right now we've got Harold calling us from, where are you from? Wisconsin, is it, Harold?
Yes, I'm from Wisconsin.
Well, you're a first-time caller, aren't you?
Dr. Montes, yes, great to talk to you. I received your newsletter and stuff. I ordered some things. I read your book.
Wonderful.
It wasn't really anything new that I didn't know. But I keep looking for more information. And I agree with your last caller wholeheartedly. And along with you that this is spiritual warfare.
Amen.
And we are going to be persecuted. We're going to be... You know, he's going to make war against the saints and defeat them, but in the end, we know what the end of the book is, you know.
Amen.
But,
yeah.
Of course, we, the average Christian out there isn't ready to be persecuted. He's convinced that he's not going to ever have to face anything bad because God loves him and wouldn't allow it to happen.
Yeah, well, they're having a good time. He's paying them. The devil is paying them off.
Right. So anyway, did you have a point you wanted to make, Harold?
Yeah. My question was for your guest. I don't know if he's still on there or not.
Yes, I am.
About the NGO.
What role the NGOs are playing?
Yeah. Where are all these NGOs coming from?
Well, you raised a very good point, Harold.
Non-elected government officials, and why can't we start some NGOs?
Because all right, fine. Let's let Dr. Kaufman answer that.
Okay. The NGOs is the brainchild of a guy by the name of Maurice Strong. Stan and I have talked about him on this program before, and I'm sure you've talked about it with other people as well, Stan. Reese Strong has orchestrated a lot of things, and one of the things that he did was to tap into special interest groups called NGOs, provide the funding for those out of your tax dollars.
Excuse me, future leaders?
Pardon?
Excuse me, future government leaders?
No, these are special non-government organizations is what they are.
Yeah, they're non-government organizations.
We're just about out of time. Why don't you take it on the, can you take it on the air, Harold? Because we're just about out of time.
I want
Dr. Kaufman to answer your question. Go ahead.
What we're seeing with the NGOs is that there is a lot of movement between the leadership of the NGOs and the leadership within government. They change career paths almost on a monthly basis type of thing. They move back and forth between the government and the NGOs. So it's one and the same. We have good evidence that in 1999, for instance, that the NGOs were funded to the tune of $750 million from the private foundations, the Rockefeller, the MacArthur, the Pew Charitable Trust of the nation, so that they get tremendous resources. They get at least $500, perhaps $1 billion a year from the federal government. You heard 2 weeks ago where Ford Motor Company was spending something like $24 million to pay off these organizations as an extortion payment in order to keep them off their backs. There's a number of ways that these organizations get their money, but they're very, very powerful. And right now, with the rewriting of the United Nations Charter, what they're doing is they're providing a special place for these non-governmental organizations because they know that they have them by the short rope, as it were, where they have to be obedient to the United Nations in order to get their funding. And there's going to be, it looks like at this particular point in time, a new United Nations legislative body created called the People's Assembly. It will be opposite the General Assembly. And it will be, the people that will be elected from that will not be from the people of the world, but from these non-government organizations like the Sierra Club, the Nature Conservancy, the Socialist Republicans, and so forth. All of these real ultra-left, wacko organizations are going to provide our representation to the United Nations according to what their pre-new United Nations Charter documentation suggests. It suggests very strongly that they're going to, this is going to be taken out of these non-government organizations to actually elect these people into this new People's Assembly. It is an astonishing array. It is brilliant in this application. So one of the things that I want to leave the listening audience with this, Stan, is that when this new United Nations Charter comes out sometime in the next several months, it might be a year, they're trying to keep it as quiet as they can until they're ready to spring it on us. But when it comes out, we have to be ready and mobilized to fight that to the death, because once that thing is ratified, we are in slavery, because there is no way that we're ever going to escape it once they have the taxation authority through the Tobin tax and a variety of others to fund all this stuff. We will be as vulnerable to the United Nations as we have been to the federal government when they got their tax authority.
Well, God bless you for everything you do, Michael. We'll be talking to you again. I hope I can get you on here in the very, very near future.
Well, thank you, Stan.
Thank you. Bye-bye. And ladies and gentlemen, they have a Social Security number to use to track you with. They can watch you with the satellites in the sky. They're setting up videos on street corners and in cities, and they can basically identify you by your facial features. They can actually tap your telephone to Echelon. It's illegal, but they don't care about the law. These people are above the law. And, of course, they're energized by organized evil. Now, how do you counter organized evil? By turning to God. But also, if we sit around and say it's up to God, he's not going to do anything. Every time the children of Israel turn to evil, why, God eventually chastised them and abandoned them and allowed them to be destroyed and enslaved. Will that be the epitaph for America? Well, we hope that many of you will decide right now you want to join us in this effort to awaken the American people to stand for righteousness against organized evil. The battle is the Lord's, there's no question. But we're called to stand. And so until tomorrow at the same time, please pray for America, pray for revival. Help us to get the truth out. Pray for our ministers, but please pray for Radio Liberty, for our provision and our protection.